the Bible says we're going to be very surprised when we see in paradise, amen? Those that gave their heart to Jesus at that last moment are going to be with him in paradise, amen? Just like the man on the cross. Because how many know we didn't earn anything that Jesus has given us? It's called amazing grace. The word grace simply means what? Unmerited favor. So who we look, we should rejoice with each sinner who gives their heart to God, whether it be at the last minute or all their life, amen? If you gave your heart to God 25 years ago, you've had 25 years of joy, 25 years of faith, 25 years of love in your heart, amen? So you carry that, but if somebody just gave their heart to God 5 seconds ago, you rejoice because you know what they just found, amen? We were lost, yet we were found. And that's how good our God is. Say that with me. How good our God is. So when we sing this song, and I hear people singing it all the time, I say, I hope they understand what they're saying and the depths. And this will be our hymn for today. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. Marilyn, I don't know what number it is in the hymnal, but you guys probably don't need it anyway. It's in your little red book, but we're going to sing it because this is Amazing Grace. What Jesus did for us, it is amazing.
334.
Prayer we have. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Our promise from God. Hallelujah. Let's read together. You can be seated. Take your shoes off. Relax. Say hi to your neighbor. But show Aiden and Madison and Nikki how well we all read together. Amen. The pressure's on now, guys. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Hallelujah. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Hey, you got the rhythm going, doesn't it? Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. Hallelujah. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Hallelujah. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Hallelujah. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Nor my transgressions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. According to your mercy. Not my friend's mercy, but your mercy, Lord. Remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Hallelujah. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. What a God we have. Who does not want to be with that God? Amen. The God of forgiveness. Oh, my goodness. Can I read that again? What's it saying? Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. Imagine that God, the places that we have talked about and taken God, and he's been right there with us. Amen. Every conversation, every joke we've ever told, he's been standing right there having to listen to it. Yet today he loves us more than we could ever imagine. Imagine. That's the God we worship. Amen. That's the God of the Bible. Say that with me. The God of the Bible. Whose God is that? There you go. God answers. Ooh, God answers. You look at the sky. This is the testimony. You look at the sky. You smell the fresh air. Anybody ever been outside after rain? How nice it smells. How good the air feels. Amen. The sun, the moon, the oceans, everything that is around us. Amen. Then you consider everything outside of our world. Anybody ever look at the stars at night? What do you see? I see a lot of empty, void of life, cold, millions and billions of miles. Nothing. Nothing. What's out there? But here we are. Amen? So to not see, this is my opinion now, to not see a creator is almost laughable if it's not insane. Are you with me? It's almost insane to think it. But yet the smartest among us say that this just happened. This world just happened. So I'm going to read to you God answers. I'm going to be in the book of Job, Gary. And I want you to listen to what God is asking Job. When you consider what we have and how beautiful this what we have, where we live, and you look out at the sky at night and see a void of nothing. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." And then God said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? And who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? Then he said, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? God said, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. He said, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. God says, have you commanded the morning since the days you began and caused the dawn to know its place that it might take hold of the ends of the earth? So I tell you, what makes man deny creation or a creator? The unknown? Having to admit that we were wrong? Amen? Or how about having to admit that we need help? Amen? Is that something? I don't know. We were born to it. Here it is. You opened your eyes and see it for yourself. Amen? What we have, we do know we did not create. Amen? How many know that we didn't create this? Amen? Now, we don't. So your eyes see it for yourself. You feel it. Yet man is determined to find another answer. Can I get an amen? Well, listen to this. This too is a gift from God. The desire to know more, to explore, hungry for answers. But God knows the answer, and believers trust in His answer. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So God Himself encourages man to seek out. Now the collective wisdom of all the world, all through these thousands of years, have simply exposed how little they know about this world and continue to show His word to be right. Amen? With everything that they discovered, everything that they found out how little they know about everything, because every time they find something new they didn't know, they understand they didn't know about that either. So let me read that again. The collective wisdom of all the world, all these thousands of years, have simply exposed how little they know about this world and continue to show His word to be right. Thousands of men, how many? Through the ages have tried to put holes in this book, this beautiful book, and they have failed. I believe God welcomes those who we consider wise among us to search for those answers. But the answer will be, I was lost and now I'm found. This God, the God of the Bible, the God of where? The God of the Bible, this book, all are welcome. His word. Who shall I trust? Where shall I put my trust? To look outside and not see God to me is just unthinkable. Not because, not for any other reason, but it's so beautiful. The creation, everything we have, the way the sun moves, the way the stars, the way that the sky is blue. When you see so beautiful clouds, you say, how did that happen? And God's got to be smiling. Remember Noah's Ark with the rainbow? God said, that's going to be my signature to prove, to say I will never do that again to the world with the rain. When you smell the air, when you see trees growing where nobody planted them, when you see life everywhere and you see animals surviving everywhere, think, how can that happen? How can it be possible without somebody creating something so perfect? Because this world has been created perfectly. The waters run into the ocean, yet the oceans never overflow. The rivers have run for thousands of years, yet they never run dry. How can that be? How can something so perfect not come from just nothing? Except there were a creator, amen? Now, I know you guys all believe that. I'm just trying to give you a different heart again, just to see God again. I want you to see God again today. Maybe you say, well, I know all this stuff, Sergio. You may say, but I want you to see Him again today. I want you to feel Him, to know, to believe more than you thought you could believe, amen? Because the more you believe, the stronger you become, and the stronger you become, the more you believe. And next thing you know, you feel like you're friends with God, and you can talk about God in a way that people don't understand. He's not out there staring at us. He's inside of us, loving us. Amen? That's the God of the Bible. Thousands of religions are in the world. Amen? Thousands. And I'm going to read to you in a minute where God, Jesus doesn't care about the other religions in the world. He simply cares about you. Amen? Who does He care about? You. Hallelujah. And I want to read where Jesus said that He cares about you. Well, He doesn't concern Himself with what other people think and what they feel. He just said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. And I love you. And anybody who believes in me shall be saved. Amen. That's the God of the Bible. Amen. He doesn't impose. We don't have to have one religion in the world. It was never meant to be one religion. But we have a God that we look up and trust. Amen. That we follow. That we love. That created. We believe. Believe all of this. Amen? So how could you not want to serve Him and love Him and know Him and feel Him and want to do to please Him? Imagine that. You today, Bernie, can please God. You, Bernie, you can please God today by giving somebody else a smile, giving somebody else a handshake, saying something nice to somebody, giving somebody a glass of water, making somebody feel better about themselves. You please God when you do all that. That's called compassion. It's called love. It's called giving. Amen? Or when somebody forgives somebody. Has somebody ever done anything to you that's upset you in your lifetime? Nobody? Somebody? What are we supposed to do, Madison? We're supposed to forgive them. Amen? The Bible says, but here's the gift. He says, see, you think you're going to do something. You're going to forgive that person. And here's what happens. You can forgive that person. Next thing you know, you feel better. Because you released the anger. You released the tension. You released anything that was holding you back from receiving joy. So it's like you think you're doing good and God's doing better because he's filling you with something that you didn't have all the time. You're holding on to the anger. Amen? So you can't outwit God. Amen? When you do something for God, he's going to do something for you and make you feel better. And then you're going to do something better. And he's going to make you feel better because you're doing it for God. You see the circle? The last thing we want to do is hurt anybody. The last thing we want to do is see pain caused to anybody. The last thing we want to do is see people suffer. Amen? That's because that God lives in us, gives us that compassion. Whether they believe us or not, amen? Whether they're God, Jesus fans or Yankee fans or Cowboy fans, we don't care. We just love them. And we want everybody to prosper. We want everybody to be happy. Amen? We don't impose. We give. Amen? That's the difference. And God, Jesus doesn't take from us. He gives. So if you say, I'm going to forgive this person. I just don't think I can, but I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, you forgive them, and you say, boy, I feel better. I don't have to carry that anymore. And you say, wait a minute, I feel better. I feel better. Maybe I should have forgiven that person a long time before because I like feeling better. Amen? With stress, with anxiety, give it to God. You feel better. You feel better. That's the God that we worship. That's the God of this book. That's why I love him. That's why I preach about him. Because I trust his word is true. I trust what he says is true. And I trust where I'm going. That's so beautiful that I want everybody else to go with me. Amen. So give him praise and give him hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's just pray together. Lord, thank you. He cannot give you. We can't even trick to outgive you. We can't fool you because you know everything. But Lord, when we do what you tell us to do, when we do what you lead us to do, you tell us the best good things for us. When we do them, we feel better. When we love one another, we feel better. When we don't judge somebody, we feel better. We don't want to carry them burdens of anger and distrust. We want to let those burdens go because we want to feel joy. We want to feel goodness. We want to love. We don't care what people call themselves. They're people. You created all of us, Lord. You are the creator of all of us. Whatever color, whatever race, whatever religion, you created us. It's people who hide behind the shades of all the anger and hide behind all that because they somehow think that they've lost something when you've given us everything. We just need to love one another. And if the world caught on to that simple message, they would see the difference in the God of the Bible, the one that we worship, our Jesus. We're lost, but now we're found. The things we did in that, what I just read in that, forgives us of our transgressions, of our youth. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, thank you for things I've said, and just thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. You've been with me every minute of my life, Lord. I want to know more about you. We have children here today, Lord. I pray that they want to know more about you. And they seek answers from people who love you. Seek answers from people who know this book. Not to be brainwashed, not to be misled, but just for the goodness of you. That they seek things and they see things through your eyes and become strong faith. Just compassionate people because they love you first. They love you first. You are number one. And then they see that you add everything therein is added by you. All the blessings. We just stay close to you, Lord, with this church. We lift up our elder to you, Lord. We love her so much. And she's such a beautiful spirit, Lord, but she's also flesh and blood. And she's dealing with pains and anxieties that she won't share with anybody except you. So we need to trust you in this situation, Lord. And our hearts might be sad and one, but we rejoice that she has brought us to this point. We're going to show her the power of her spirit, that we're going to, when she comes back, she's going to see her spirit and everybody and the compassion. Yes, Lord, we understand that the flesh sometimes takes over and pains and tired and it hurts sometimes, Lord. So we're just going to pray for her healing in her body and her legs and her knees and her heart. The sadness she dealt with last year is just not over because it's 7 months later, Lord. It's just as strong today. So we need to pray for all the things that she's feeling and thank her for her love, and thank you for sending her to us. And now we need to rise higher as a family to prove that God's faith and love in this church is even stronger yet, higher than we even thought, Lord. In your name we pray this, Lord, in your precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. Come here. If you love God so much, why do you have to wear glasses? I don't know. Somebody asked that question once, didn't they? Because we live in this world, amen? We live in this world. Thank you, Lord. This world was perfect when God created it, amen? I think along the way, men have messed it up pretty good. I thought for sure the women would say, amen to that! But that's what we're living in. I mean, the things we've done and the food that we eat, you know, let's be honest. I mean, we say, how can God let these... God give us something very special. He's given us free will, amen, to do as we please. That's a very dangerous thing to give to somebody, amen. Oh, you got free will, just go ahead. I'm going to walk behind you. I'll forgive you, don't worry. Think, wait a minute, that's crazy. So we become microwave or a life, you know, where everything's got to be done today. And unfortunately, we're paying the price for some of that. So I'm going to read from John 12:44. And this is Jesus speaking. Who's speaking? Jesus. Yeah, because it says so right here. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. How many people? Anybody? Whoever? That's pretty much to everybody, right? That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And then he said, and if anyone hears my word and does not believe, listen to what our God says. I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. He is saying, if anybody rejects me, doesn't want to know me, doesn't want to believe that I am who I say I am, or doesn't follow me, he said, then he has his reward. He has what he has said that he doesn't believe. And that's his reward, that he can pass that last day with that. He said that he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. But he has everything. God never took anything away from him. Amen? Do you understand what Jesus didn't, even though he rejected him, Jesus didn't take that from him. He said he received. That's what he chose to do. That which he has judged him, the word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And Jesus said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, what I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. You understand how different our religion, our belief is compared to the world? You understand the depth of that? No matter what denomination, now we got Sister Judy, who was born and raised a Catholic, has been going to Catholic church. Guess who she prays to? Jesus. Guess what book she reads? The Bible. So it's man again putting walls and separations even between believers. Doesn't that sound crazy? Yet that's what happens. Man makes these religions and they add these little laws and regulations to keep you bound up. Guess what? You're free here. Amen? We don't ask you to fill out an application, how much you make a year, what you're going to give in the offering, what do you do? We ask you, do you love God? Amen? Because this is what the Bible says. Preach the word. Amen? Don't make new laws. So, Sister Judy, when I was saying you could be our greeter, you could absolutely be, because you love God, because your spirit is to love people. When we come over your house, there's nothing but love, and you're just so excited, and you give, and that's what a church should be. A church should be like your home, and you make it like that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Anyone. Thank you, Lord. Anyone. Aiden. I was praying a lot because my daughter is here and I wanted to preach something that would touch her heart too, amen? It's important for me to reach everybody, and my heart's been excited. So I want to read this story. It is in Matthew 20, talking about God, talking about who we meet in paradise, the forgiveness of God, and life itself. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them to his vineyard. Now I looked up as much, Deacon Gary. I got denarius to be $20 a day. One of them said $72. One of them said, the best one I found, and Jim is probably going to look it up for us, but I got it to be $20 a day, a denarius, okay? Because there's so many different countries have different, anyway. So when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard. Whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." In other words, beginning with the ones who he just hired, amen, to the ones he hired first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, saying, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last, for many are called, but few are chosen." Hallelujah. It sounds like Christians all the time. You know, they've been a Christian all their life, and they've been working with God and stuff, and then they see somebody else just give their heart to God, and they see the celebration, and they see, you know, he's forgiven, and God loves him, and they're wondering, well, how can he love that person? I've been loving God all my life. Shouldn't I be ahead of him? And God's saying, "Why? What have you done? You love me, but what did you do to earn any of it? I love you," God said. I raised you. I hold you in my hand as I hold them. Shouldn't you rejoice with those who have given their heart to God? And that's what that parable is sort of saying. That, see, the people that thought they were first and working hard, they should receive more than the other people, although they received what they were promised. And we are promised what? Eternal life. Amen. We're promised to be with him in paradise. That's our promise. Amen. Wouldn't we want anybody else who follows God to receive that promise? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Brother Luke tells us some wonderful stories. Hallelujah. A certain man had two sons. How many? And the youngest of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion." Had what? Hallelujah. "And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Hallelujah. Now his older son was in the field, and he came, and as he came near, he drew near to the house and heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come back, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed against your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Pretty upset, isn't he? And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Hallelujah. The father forgave his son. Why? Because he was filled with what? Love and compassion. Hallelujah. To forgive allows joy to be in your heart. There's a song that I sing that my wife laughs at me because I can't get through the last verse all the time. Last night I dreamed I died, and I was standing outside the pearly gates. Well, suddenly I realized there must be some mistake, because if they knew half the things I'd done, they'd never let me in. But somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. Love without end. Amen. His love without end. My father said, love without end, and I was welcomed in. I don't remember the day I gave my heart to God, but I know that it changed my life when I did. I don't remember what I was doing the hour before that, but I know from the hour I did that, my life changed. Amen? And I know that I wanted to know more about God, and that has changed my life. And then I know I wanted to know more about the Word of God, and that has changed my life. And I know that I read the Bible, and that changed my life. And then I became a deacon, and that changed my life. It gave me responsibility unto God. When people saw me, they heard Deacon Larry, and they thought right away, that's a Bible name. That's a biblical. That he must be important in church. I never felt important, but I felt that pride of knowing when I called Deacon Chuck, Deacon Gary. Those are important words. We say deacon because it separates. Amen. It shows a separation that they have done something with God to be able to be called deacon. And that's a respect thing, but it's also with God. Amen. The responsibility now with them, with Chuck and with Gary and all the deacons, is now they are representing God whenever they act, whenever they talk to people, whenever they greet people. It's more. When other people come to the church and they say, Deacon Chuck, other people have never been here say, oh, that's a deacon over there. We're going to go talk to him. The responsibility. And then when God lifted my heart up to do what I've been praying about for so many years, to pastor, to be able to talk about him, to tell others about him, to change your life as he has changed my life, God found a way to open that door. Amen. And I am a humble pastor. I am your shepherd, is what I am. Simply up here talking about the Word of God so that you can love God the way I love him. You can love him freely without the bondage of religion, without the bondage of fear, without the bondage of having to go to somebody else, because guess what? Jesus said, I can go right to him. Amen. And if he said that to me, he said that to you, Bernie. Amen. You go to God to talk to God, don't you? When you go off alone, who do you talk to? God, because he's listening, Sergio. That's what you're searching for. All the things you want, all the things in your dreams, he may change those dreams. Some people used to think, well, he's going to change your mind. No, he's not going to. He's going to use a carrot to lead you. And when you get to a certain place, you're going to realize that's not really what you wanted. You want to, and God will show you, and it'll be greater than what you could have hoped for. Amen? And that's what we keep looking and walking forward to. When you folks come here on Sunday, it's a prayer answered for me. When I see Ronnie sitting over there, I say, etch your name in the wood. I'm serious, because you claim that spot, because God has called you to be here, for you to be stronger when you leave here, to enjoy him. Amen? Imagine that. that? Enjoy God. Imagine going somewhere and enjoying the fact that God is with you. That is so beautiful. And that's the God of the Bible. Amen. He's not calling us to do anything but show compassion. As we read these stories, we read about the son that came home and the father. So just so happy to see that his son is alive, and how his son humbled himself, and how the other son was feeling a little resentful until he realized what his father was telling him, amen? That everything I have, son, is yours. It's always been yours. It'll always be yours. But your brother was lost. We thought he was dead. He was away doing things that we didn't know. And here he is. And we need to rejoice. And that's in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, my wife, bless your heart, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. This church, and you hear the word of God, it's about that same Jesus that thousands of religions talk about, but it's in the free way. You can come to God in this church. You can know God, and as he wants to know you, he loves you so much. He just wants you to find him and just follow him. In this church, we do this in remembrance of Jesus. It's not what we do, it's the remembrance that we do. It's not how we even do it. It's not even the tradition. But the Bible says that we should do this, and we do, in honor of what Jesus did for us. When you accept the sacrament, when you take it and enjoy it today, you're just saying, Lord, thank you. That's all you're doing. You're saying, Lord, thank you. And then you're saying, Lord, I believe. I receive it. I receive your amazing grace. That's what it is. That's what we're doing. Saying, Lord, I receive your amazing grace today. So I ask you to join with us as we do what Jesus has asked us to do in his name, when he asked us to do this in remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. Didn't mean to leave out Deacon Jim and Deacon Bill either, so. You're just simply saying, Lord, thank you. You can do this in your home. You can do this at a restaurant. You can do this anywhere where you just thank God and receive this sacrament. So don't let a church or somebody else divide you, saying, well, you can't do that here. You say, who says I can't? God says I can. I choose God. Thank you, Lord.